Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/westwoodone.
You're in the sweet spot, baby. You're in the sweet spot, girl. You're in the sweet spot, darling. It's a magical kingdom in a mixed up world. You're in the sweet spot, baby. You're in the sweet spot, girl. You're in the sweet spot, darling. It's a magical kingdom in a mixed up world.
Welcome to the Sweep Spot Podcast. My name is Lynn, your host, and Ken's my co-host. Ken, what's going on?
Oh, Lynn, it is going. It is going. I am looking forward to this episode of the Sweep Spot Podcast.
I am too. This is episode 366.
366. Lynn, that's incredible.
It really is. Ken and I are both former Disneyland Custodio cast members, and we talk Disneyland. We talk Disneyland history, behind the scenes, what it's like to work at Disneyland, and, trip reports, just everything kind of surrounding Disneyland. So we're also authors of the books called Cleaning the Kingdom. We have two books out. You can get both of those on our website. They're paperback, signed by both of us at thesweepspot.com. And you can also get them, if you don't want them signed, you can get them on Amazon. And you can also get digital copies, like on Kindle or Apple Books. And also, you can get them at Audible, the audiobooks. So if you want to listen to Ken for hours and hours.
And who doesn't?
So you can do that at audible.com too. Also, we have a Patreon if you'd like to help support our show and get some cool perks. For $5 or more a month, you get one bonus episode delivered to you that Ken and I record. Something we usually talk about, stuff that we don't talk about on the podcast. So like it's surrounding Disneyland, obviously. Yes. And then also you get to join in on our current events live, where we record them, and you get to be in the chat room and leave comments, and we'll sometimes add those to as we're recording, and you can chat amongst the others that are in the chat room as well. So you can sign up for that at thesweepspot.com, and there's a link for Patreon, or you can go to Patreon and search The Sweep Spot. We'd really appreciate your help. And I wanted to mention one thing before we mentioned our guest. I wanted to mention, because I'm a travel planner for Concierge, that coming up very soon for Disneyland Resort, they're going to have bookings will open for 2024. So if that's something you're wanting to do, to go to the Disneyland Resort, you don't have to stay at a Disneyland Resort hotel. I can also book at the Good Neighbor hotels in the area. But those are going to open up very soon, probably within the next couple weeks. So if you want to get a head start on your planning for next year, you can contact me. Wherever you find the sweet spot, you can get a hold of me there, or lbaron@concierge.com. Ken, who is our guest tonight?
Well, we have Benji Breitbart from laughingplace.com. He recently, very, very recently, got to go on an around the world tour, an official one that was hosted by the company. Mm-hmm. So he's going to give us an overview of that, because we thought it'd be interesting to learn about that. You know, whether you're ever going to go on it or not, it's a nice thing to learn about. So looking forward to that.
Yeah. If you want to book a trip like this, you can do that for me too.
Yeah. I was going to say that would be, you know, if you listen to the rest of the show and you go, geez, I want to do that, contact Len.
That's right. I would love to help you with that. Okay. Well, you know what? We've got a lot going on, so let's get right into it. Looking to book a vacation to Disneyland Resort, Walt Disney World Resort, Disney Cruise Line, Disney Alani, Disneyland Paris, Adventures by Disney, Universal Studios Hollywood, Universal Studios Orlando, then I can do that for you. If you contact me and we can talk about all the different options and dates, and we can kind of even make recommendations on which days might be the best for you to go. And also as a complimentary, when you book with us, we will book your dining for you if you'd like, special events. And we also, when we book a vacation for you, we just don't say have a good time after we book it for you. We are there every step of the way. We contact you before your trip to make sure everything's squared away. We even have a checklist to make sure that you have everything you need. Reservations, dining, all these different things. Your transportation, if you need help with that from the airport, any of those sort of things, we can help you with that too. We want to make the vacation the best it can be for you, because I know that vacations aren't cheap, and we can help you do that. So if you contact me, that's Lynn, and the email is lbarron@concierge.com. That's LBARRON at concierge.com. Or you can go to thesweepspot.com, and there's a link on our front page there. You can click on that, and there's information on how to contact me. But I'd love to talk to you and help you book the best vacation possible.
Now let's join the crowd passing through the tunnels of the main entrance for a day in Disneyland.
ホーンテッドマンションへようこそ。私はこの館の主、ゴーストホストである。
你们是来和大名鼎鼎的Jack Sparrow船长 一起去外海冒险的是吧？ 那就带上足够。Albert,
there you are. You didn't touch that music box, did you?
You never know. The legend just might be true.
Well, I do hope you've enjoyed your visit to Mystic Manor. Cheerio!
So, Benji, you went on a trip that a lot of people have seen kind of advertised or talked about on a lot of the different Disney fan sites. And I'm curious about a lot of the little details and extra things that you got to see that you would only get to do on this sort of trip. And so what was the actual name of this trip?
I believe the official name was Disney Parks Around the World by Private Jet.
Okay.
So
they didn't tag on the musical with
it. Right. Yeah. It felt like they kept saying it like we need a shorter name. Like we can't, like you can, you know how like at Disney we abbreviate everything and we give it shorthand or whatever. I was like you better do it or someone else is going to do it for you. But it really is a growth, and I think this is an important thing for Disney fans to know. It's a growth out of Nat Geo's private jet trips. Mm-hmm. So it's really, if you look at their private jet experience that they do for, they have different versions, but they have an around the world private jet trip. This was sort of a Disney overlay on a Nat Geo trip. So it was Disney sites for the most part, but it was run as if it was a Nat Geo trip.
Oh, okay. Makes sense.
Yeah. Well, cool. It's good to see some use of the, you know, the acquired Nat Geo. It's good. You know, there's all kinds of things they could be doing, but it's good to see they're actually doing something with it.
Well, what's interesting too is that if you looked out the window, if the sun hit the winglet just right, you could see where they painted over the Nat Geo yellow border with like the Disney Adventures by Disney Star.
Yeah,
which was kind of funny. And when we got on the plane, actually, I mean, to kind of bring it full circle on the Nat Geo side, they gave us a reproduction of that famous Disneyland issue of National Geographic. So it was kind of a way to kind of connect the two. Well, I guess it was created for Nat Geo employees when Disney acquired 21st Century Fox, and then for henceforth Nat Geo to kind of bridge the two as kind of like a morale thing. But they gave us all copies, which was kind of cool because Becky Klein from the Walt Disney Archives was on the trip as sort of our historian. You know, she'd provide context to different things and do different lectures. So she was able to go through it and kind of point out interesting things. Like, for example, Walt's apartment above Main Street wasn't really known until that issue. And that's where it sort of became one of those things that every Disney fan knows, even though not every Disney fan's been up there.
Right. So let's see. I want to start this properly without skipping too much. But where did it begin?
So it started with us heading to Southern California. We could fly into Long Beach, LAX or Orange County, coming from the Bay Area. You know, I just took a Southwest flight to Orange County, which I got some flack for on Twitter because the people are like, you're doing a private jet trip and you're flying on Southwest, but like, no. It's kind of the only way to get here, you know, unless you're doing something crazy. So then we got a private transport from the airport to the Grand Californian, where we were able to kind of get settled and then check in. We had to do a COVID test.
Okay.
And then we would gave them our passports, did some sort of logistics stuff, answer some questions about, you know, that would come into play later, like our favorite character and, you know, what kind of attractions we like to do and things like that. Just kind of get to know you questions. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, make sure our apps are all linked and all that, you know, that those kind of logistics stuff. And then we were able to play at Disneyland for the day until our sort of welcome reception, and the trip really began in earnest. But we started off in Southern California with that first night being at Disneyland Park.
How many people would you say were on this trip?
It was 73 guests. Mm-hmm. It booked to 75, but unfortunately two people, for reasons I don't know, were unable to make it at the last minute.
Okay.
But it was 75 guests. There's probably, if you add in the staff, probably 85, you know, on the jet itself.
That's well, two openings. They should have gotten us to go, you know, Lynn and I. It's a perfect fit.
I tried to text you guys. I just didn't have your number.
Oh,
I
was like, hey, next time. Well, okay. So then you said Becky Klein was there. Was there any, they're all cast, like Disney cast members from different.
So we had three adventure guides who were there to kind of be the Disney experts. I mean, you know, this is the first time. So I will say, you know, and I don't blame them for this. You know, there was a lot of learning happening.
Yeah.
Because as you can imagine, all the logistics of going around is, you know, that's quite a bit. So there was some learning, especially since visiting a Disney park is a little different than visiting a destination Nat Geo may go to, you know, like Easter Island. I mean, like, for example, the days are longer. Because you're going to go to the park before open for an experience, and you got to stay all the way through the nighttime spectacular. Whereas if you go to Machu Picchu, you're not really there after dark, you know? So it's a little bit of a longer day than a normal around the world trip. But so there was three adventure guides. There's an expedition leader. His name was Troy. There was two assistant adventure leaders. One was named Patricio, who did a bunch of things, but he was primarily like his main area of responsibility was handling luggage. and dealing with that, you know, and customs and all that. And then there was Julie, who was in charge of logistics of immigration and passports and stuff like that. Then we also had a doctor who was, you know, doesn't technically work for Disney, but had a Disney name tag. He's actually from Utah. Dr. Shea, who was fantastic. Like, it's almost made me want to move to Utah just to have him as my doctor. Like,
really?
I mean, he got one of the biggest rounds of applause at the end, just because he was so kind, so passionate about, you know, not only caring for us, but also just experiencing these Disney parks. He was pretty cool. That was the core team. Now there's also what they call an advanced team, who would be in different each location before we got there and after we left to kind of handle the logistics before we got there. And then there was a couple extra people who were around. I believe that they were there just because it was the first time, and kind of working on, you know, sort of senior leaders and executives who that may not be on it as it becomes sort of a normal thing that they offer.
Okay. And
officially, the people that they list as like your team were the adventure guides, the three expedition leaders and assistants, and the doctor. So 7.
And they went everywhere, like in the parks with you and everything.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, everyone needed to take a break at some point, they were, you know, and they would split up and come back together. But yeah, they were with us the whole trip.
Okay. And so you stayed at Grand Californian and you started at Disneyland in California. How many days were you there?
So we were in Southern California, basically 2.5 days, because we had the welcome reception at the Grand Californian, and then sort of a welcome dinner at the Opera House, and then viewing for the fireworks. The next day we went up to the studios for basically most of the day.
Nice.
And we can get more into that if you'd like. But then, then we went back to Disneyland to watch World of Color and have dinner at Disneyland. And then the next day was basically our day to play at Disneyland. And then we had sort of a very casual dinner at what used to be Launch Bay. I don't know what it's called now, but it was basically 3 days at Southern California, but one day was pretty much just on the studio lot.
Cool. What did you see at the studios?
So we got basically like what I would call like a standard tour. That was part of it. You know, you go to, you know, walk the lot, but then we also went to Walt's office. We went to Ink and Paint, and they gave us sort of a Ink and Paint cell at the end of the trip. Like, we were supposed to get it there, but logistics, we got it at the end. And we got to actually see, not only saw how they ink and paint, which I've seen that before, but we actually got to see them use the old Xerox machine to show how they Xerox the cells, which I had not seen before. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
We got a tour of Marvel Studios, which I believe is the first tour they've done. We also went to the Infinity Stage, which is, so you may know it as the Volume, that's on Soundstage, I want to say 1, but it might be Soundstage 2. So we got to see that demoed, which was really cool. And then we had lunch at the Rotunda. And we went over to Disney Animation, where we got sort of, I would say, a tour, but it was really about seeing a screening of the upcoming short Once Upon a Studio.
Okay.
And the directors were there, so we were able to ask some questions. Alex, who I was traveling with, has already saw the short, but for everyone else, it was kind of a neat experience. It's a great short. I can't recommend it enough. Obviously, I shouldn't say it. We also went to the archives, which I know many people have been to, but, you know, for some people on this trip, that was a special experience. The trip was not as much Disney fans. I mean, I would say they're Disney fans in the more casual sense, as in they like Disney.
Right.
But you're not talking hardcore, like, you know, those that we know. Like, the you would say something and you'd have to like kind of be like, okay, I'm talking like I'm talking to, you know, you guys. Mm-hmm. And then I realized, okay, no, I have to actually explain who Mary Blair is, you know, like
right,
you had,
right.
So, I mean, which was fine. It's not a criticism. Just, it was kind of surprising to me that it wasn't more of the sort of fanboy element.
Yeah, I didn't think of that. Hmm. It makes sense though. Not everyone is into it.
Yeah, I mean, and they liked it. You know, it's kind of like those guys. I would say it's like, for, and obviously I'm making a generalization here.
Yeah, yeah.
But there was definitely, you know, people, who, it's the people who, oh yeah, I love going to Disney. You know, like, you know, I go, not necessarily historical or, mm-hmm. you know, checking out our website every day or whatnot.
Right, right. So that was,
I mean, sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, well, I mean, this, it makes sense that there might be people who would be interested in doing something like this that are not, and there's a lot of people who can afford a trip like this that aren't diehard Disney fans, that, you know, the kind that listen for mistakes in official presentations and then issue corrections, you know.
Right.
But people who admire certain things that the company's done over the years and think, okay, this would be interesting to do, you know?
You know, I mean, and I think, yeah, I mean, that was a lot of it. I mean, I think as hardcore Disney fans, and there was so many errors that it was like, my left arm is numb from being punched to not say something or correct somebody. There were a lot of, you know, wow. different people that just said wrong things. And
yeah.
You know, I'm not blaming them, but it wasn't, you know, one funny thing is we're sitting down at dinner and someone was like, well, you know, there's only 9 custodial people that work at any given time at Disneyland, at Magic Kingdom of Disney World. And I'm like, that's not true.
No,
might be 9 people in one specific land.
Right. Yeah, I know. Yeah. And I was like, no, someone told me. And then they say who this guy's name. And I didn't know who it was. And I was like,
yeah,
no, there's not. And Alex used to work in workforce management at Disney World.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, no, there's like 120 people working at Magic Kingdom. He's like, yeah, it's not 9 people, but excuse me.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah, you know, it was the means, you know, doesn't necessarily translate to fandom. You know, it's like when you, as people at our level, you probably get people who come up to you all the time and say like, oh, I'm a huge Disney fan. They go, oh, really? And then they start talking and you're like, oh, they think they're a huge, I mean, and I'm not trying to gatekeep.
No, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's definitely, you know, like my mom who likes Disney, but probably doesn't know Donald Duck's middle name.
Hmm.
So
I don't know if I do.
I'm pretty sure his name is Tiberius.
Wow.
Wait a second.
So but in any case, you know, obviously being on the lot's pretty cool. I will say, you know, and I do kind of feel like I need to disclose this.
Yeah.
I have a weird life. I get to do a lot of cool things with Disney. I've worked at many of these sites that we're gone to, but I would also say I got to do things I never got to do before. I had never, for example, you know, been to the Rotunda. Even then, but for the people who are on this trip, this was really, you know, a lot of amazing access. And I think it's important that people know this is not, if you just want to go to all the Disney theme parks and just experience them as Disney theme parks, that this is not the way to do it. This is the way, if you want to have a premium special experience at each of the Disney theme parks in 24 days, then this is different. That this is what you want. This is not, I want to go see all, I want to see all the castles. There's better ways to do it.
Right.
For that. But, you know, as I said, we got to see some things at the studios that, you know, most people, even people who've been there a lot or done a D23 tour or, you know, Disney Movies Insiders tour, haven't been able to do.
Well, that makes sense. So in this, did you want to mention anything else about studios?
No, I mean, we had the shopping opportunity, which was important to some people. One thing that at each of the locations, except mainland China, mm-hmm. they would ship stuff for you. I mean, you had to pay for it, but you could just go, here's my stuff. And then, you know, they would mail it to your home site, because this was another learning they had from Nat Geo, whereas Nat, you know, obviously Easter Island, you may get a souvenir, but you're not going to have like 30 pounds of Duffy merchandise. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there was a lot of shipping happening.
Yeah. So then you said you had a Disneyland day. Mm-hmm. Was there anything special that you did on that day?
So it started off with, so every park we went to, we would have a picture in front of either the castle. The one exception was Tokyo. We had it in front of the volcano at Tokyo Disney Sea, mm-hmm. but Mount Prometheus. But so that's what we did first. We went on, we did a group ride on Indy, which I feel like was there. We're not ready yet. You know, like quick, find something. Yeah. And then we had breakfast at the Golden Horseshoe with some folks from Imagineering, including Kim Irvine, who talked a lot about the new treehouse or old treehouse. That's however you want to call it. And even teased some new magic coming to the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland. Cool. And then we basically got a what I would call a DSA or a VIP tour guide to go play. Now, this was a bit interesting in that basically it wasn't just for your party. It was like for a group of 8 to 10 people. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you kind of had to like feel everyone out. You know, what do you want to do? So we got a group of a family we ended up really liking. We also had Lightning Lane added. So if we wanted to just, you know, go off and just ride using Lightning Lane, we could. But for this group, because Rogers was, I had seen it, everyone else in the group hadn't. So seeing Rogers the Musical was a priority. Mm-hmm. So they were able to make sure, you know, we had sort of VIP seating for that. And we went on a couple attractions. And then we were all given times to visit Walt's apartment. So we went up to Walt's apartment. And then we kind of had a little bit of a break. And then we had dinner over at, as I said, at Launch Bay, which was very casual, just sort of like, you know, almost like it was like heavy hors d'oeuvres is probably a better way to say it, which is fine. I'm not because we've been eating like idiots. So it was OK. Yeah. But the head of Adventures by Disney was there, you know, so it was kind of nice to talk to them. I thought we'd be in and out, but, you know, we just started chatting and we ended up there kind of all night.
Well, that's nice. Yeah.
So then the next morning we had to get up early to get our luggage out, but then we went to the Ontario airport. Mm-hmm. And one of the funny sort of logistic quirks of this is that, you know, most people on this trip have pre-check, but because we were flying sort of like we had to go through regular security. So it's been a while since I've had to take my shoes off, but, and then we got on the plane, you know, that was obviously a big moment for everybody seeing the plane. There was more goodies on the plane for us. So there's a sort of like a duffel bag that had stuff like, you know, pillows and blankets and a blanket for you and all that stuff. And you could keep that on the plane. So whatever you didn't want to necessarily take back, like in every site, you would just stuff it and you would just kept it on the plane.
Oh, okay. So,
you know, like sometimes I'd buy gifts that were maybe a little bit more fragile. So I would put it there for people so that I didn't have to like keep packing and unpacking it and worrying about it being broken.
Right.
And then we had the quick 1 hour flight to Oakland Airport, which is where I flew out of originally. So, you know.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to point out, this is on Ontario, California for those of you who there's a big difference between Ontario, California and Ontario, Canada. So, I've known of at least one person who got confused in their destination and ended up at the wrong one.
Oh, no. The Ontario airport confuses me because its terminals are like terminal 2 and 4. Mm-hmm. There's not a 1 and 3.
Right. Yeah, that's all a rabbit hole I don't want to go down. You know, we're LAX is our main airport around here, and that's it. Ontario had, there were big plans for Ontario back in the day, but That's for another podcast. That's not for the sweet spot.
Yeah, that's for your airline podcast. So, but what was cool is when we landed in Oakland, we just got off the plane and onto a bus, like just straight out of the tarmac. There were bus waiting for us, and we headed to the city, San Francisco. We had a private sort of time at the Walt Disney Family Museum. Now I live here and I go to the Walt Disney Family Museum constantly. Right. So it was kind of nice to kind of get to know, you know, kind of use it. I think I ran through the exhibit, but you know, it was kind of just nice to kind of mellow out for a minute. Mm-hmm. And then we had lunch there. And then we went over to the Letterman Digital Arts Center, home to Lucasfilm and ILM. And we got a tour of, we went to the theater where they kind of did a presentation. And then we went over, kind of split up into different tours, where it was we were told no photos by Event Disney. And then we're on the trip with like a Disney ILM publicist. And she's like, oh no, take all the pictures you want. I'm like, okay. which was kind of an ongoing theme. Like obviously it's better that they're more protective of pictures than not, but at the same time, it was not the first time where people were like, no, pictures are fine. But the cool part about that, I mean, some people really enjoyed going to the store, but the cool part is we went to the motion capture stage at ILM where they filmed Cosmic Rewind, Mission Breakout, and they would be like, do you know Rocket in Cosmic Rewind? That's that guy, and just point to some guy sitting on a chair. And then they kept giving him all his credits, because whenever, you know, they would do mocap and they couldn't get the actual talent, they would just use people from ILM. So that was really cool. We got to like kind of hold Captain America's shield, which is obviously just, you know, a piece of plastic with like dots on it. And see how it interacted like real time with the, you know, the mocap. And then we drove over up to Skywalker Ranch.
Nice.
So Skywalker Ranch, at least this part of Skywalker Ranch, this is the Black Rock section has been converted into like a corporate retreat. So there's rooms. It's not a hotel.
Yeah.
There's rooms to sleep in, but it is, Skywalker Ranch is a place where you can kind of get a corporation to come together, or if you're looking for like an offsite team building, you can come up here. But it was the most relaxing, amazing experience. You wish it happened again, like another week later. Like we should come back here every week, because it was kind of, it being front loaded was not great from a pacing perspective, but obviously geography matters.
Right.
But there was basically like food and refrigerators and cookies, and just grab as much as you wanted to drink. There was wine everywhere, because if you don't know, Skywalker Ranch has a vineyard, and they actually have locations in obviously California, but also France and Italy. And they made a killing. I mean, they made a killing off of wine club memberships, and because people fell in love with this place. And they tell us like, okay, you know, you can book a massage treatment. And we're like, okay, you know, so we were like, you know, we might as well, right? You know, there's holes in the schedule here.
Yeah.
So we did it. And then I'm like, okay, so how do I pay you? She was like, oh, we're not taking money here. You have to check the front desk. So I go to the front desk and they're like, check back with us later. And then right before we're about to leave, I was like, how do I pay you? And she was like, oh, don't worry about it. It's covered.
Oh, nice.
And another thing that was surprisingly covered, it was like, they, you know, they didn't nickel and dime you. When we showed up, the doctor was like, hey, we're going to India. You may want to get malaria medication, preventive medication, Malaron. Which was news to me, right? My doctor didn't mention it. There was nothing in the literature. So he says, I can get you a prescription. So I go and I get it. And as I'm standing in front of Walt's apartment, I get a text from CVS saying, your prescription is being ready to be picked up at Garden Grove. I went, okay, do I need to go to Garden Grove? And so there's an ABD person right next to me. They're like, oh, don't worry about it. You know, we'll pick it up for you. And I didn't have to pay for it. ABD covered it. So The other thing they covered, every stop we went to, there was postcards that mm-hmm. you could write, and then they would send it off, you know, and they paid for it. And at every international site, at minimum, they'd give you about $10. So that if you had like an incidental cost, you know, you had to use a restroom, or, you know, you wanted to grab a Coke or something, you had some money without having it, because we're going to so many different countries, you know, you couldn't just keep changing money all constantly.
Right.
So that was a nice little touch.
Yeah, there's a lot of little logistic stuff that I didn't really think about. And you mentioned some of that, like, oh, well, that makes sense. Yeah.
So we had a great time at Skywalker Ranch. We're there two nights. No pictures allowed in Skywalker Ranch. The only you could take pictures outside as long as there are people in it. But, you know, it has all of George Lucas, not all, but, you know, has George Lucas's movie posters hanging around in every room, and has a beautiful gallery. And it was just a really nice, relaxing day, kind of putzing around Skywalker Ranch. You know, we slept in, we had our massage. They had a wine tasting. I don't drink, but they, and then a nice dinner. We played some Star Wars trivia, but going to Skywalker Ranch is kind of cool. Alex had been there before, but I was also a bit surprised at how much of a highlight it was for me. Well, it was also interesting is that one of the store managers, I guess, used to work for Disney. So we were, you know, it was like talking about working at Disney. He worked at Disneyland back in the 80s. And it was neat to talk to him too. But
yeah,
that's that.
Cool. So was that all you did there in San Francisco area?
Yeah, I will say too, just to kind of round out the San Francisco thing, we didn't go to Pixar. But Bob Peterson from Pixar came into Skywalker Ranch to do a presentation on Doug's life, or Carl's date, both of them, actually. So they kind of rounded out the Disney presence in the Bay Area by bringing Pixar into Skywalker.
Nice.
So then we went back to the Oakland airport to get ready to go to Japan, which was our only true overnight flight. Now, the plane does not have like lie flat seats. It had basically what I would consider like domestic first class seats.
Right.
And then during the flights, Becky would do presentations at times through. They gave us all iPads and Bose headsets. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you could see presentations. And then the foods, you know, there was lots of food, obviously, on the plane. And it was interesting, too. You know, they had to do a safety demonstration. Each time we took off, but they got more and more casual with it as time went on, including just guests giving it. One time the captain did it and didn't realize he didn't have a demo life jacket on. And so when he pulled down on the straps, it inflated. So it was one time it was done in Spanish. So, you know, and the other thing that was cool about the plane is once we left the United States, we could go up into the cockpit. We could watch the plane take off. We could watch the plane, I mean, one at a time, but yeah. We could watch the plane take off. We could watch the plane land, which is a neat experience if you enjoy flying.
Was it the same pilot for the whole?
Yep, same pilot, same crew the whole time.
Cool.
In fact, in India, we went to Taj Mahal. We just saw the crew there, just like, oh, hey guys. So with that, then we went to Tokyo, and it's we landed, I'm gonna say around 5 or 6. So it was pretty late by the time we got to the hotel, but in typical Tokyo fashion, there's a whole gaggle of people applauding as we approached the airport, the hotel. We stayed at the Tokyo Disneyland Hotel. And then we were able to have dinner at the Sherwood Gardens restaurant at the hotel, but we elected, because we were overstuffed on the plane, just to go to the park to catch dream lights, not reserved viewing or anything, but we just wanted to go see it. And then the next morning, we start off in Tokyo Disney Sea, where we got an Imagineering tour of one of three attractions. So we had to select either Soarin', Tower of Terror, or Raging Spirit. I'm sorry, not Raging Spirits, Journey into the Center of the Earth. Mm-hmm. And each group was led by a different Imagineer. And then Tokyo was a little unique in that we had used our credentials, which would give us like VIP access to the rides. We didn't have tour guides in Tokyo, but we did just sort of get to go on whatever rides we wanted. So you had a choice. You could spend 2 days in Tokyo, Disneyland, or you could do 1 day at the park and then 1 day just doing Tokyo tours. Now, we had just been at Tokyo City proper in 2019. So we, you know, in my plan was, this will give us a chance to like rest and recoup. Yeah. We ended up spending most of the time in the park anyway, but that was kind of the special thing. If we had dinner the first night at Magellan's at Tokyo Disney Sea, mm-hmm. then the following night our dinner was at Club 33.
Nice.
And then we were able to meet Mickey and Minnie in their traditional Japanese outfits. You know, the managing director was there. It was a long dinner, but it was Tokyo Disneyland's Club 33 is perhaps, I think, in my opinion, the hardest Club 33 to get into. So it was kind of a nice little treat.
Yeah.
So, and then we flew to Shanghai. Now, Shanghai was the most fun customs-wise. They literally took out a magnifying glass to look at my passport. Wow. So, you know, part of the issue is some of these countries, you don't know what you're going to get customs-wise until you land.
Yeah.
We ended up getting in and going to Shanghai Disneyland. Once again, you had the option of, you know, exploring the city. We chose not to. We just took more park time. Mm-hmm. Regarding special experiences in Shanghai, once again, we did get to eat our sort of final dinner at Shanghai Disneyland. Mm-hmm. We got VIP tours, like, once again. Nice. And we had special sort of viewing of the Pirates of the Caribbean show and the I don't know the name of the show, Mickey Wondrous Journey or something like that.
Had you been there before to Shanghai?
I have been to Shanghai Disneyland before. Oh, okay. I had not been there since the pandemic.
Okay.
So there was not a lot new there. In fact, I don't think there was any sort of new experiences, mm-hmm. except that I hadn't seen the pirate show because that was new. I mean, I shouldn't say it was under rehab when I was there last time.
What is that?
It's a stage show where the idea is that they are staging. It's like a theater company, and they're staging a story of Pirates of the Caribbean. But the owner of the company is playing Jack Sparrow. Jack Sparrow has the real, quote, real Jack Sparrow has something to say about that. And then there ends up being this whole maelstrom where there's like a wind tunnel that they build in the middle of the stage. So they're all kind of fighting in the air, which is kind of cool.
Okay.
But, and then we had an Imagineering tour, you know, kind of tour of the park, which was neat. You know, discussing the castle and things like that. But, you know, the parks that we were at that I would say are more accessible the park, the more time they gave you to just kind of enjoy the park. Whereas something like Shanghai, you know, Walt Disney World is where they really kind of went out and said, okay, let's do as, you know, this has a lot of special experience. There's almost no park time because, right. We theoretically people on this trip have been to, Disney World plenty of times.
Right.
And so, when we had dinner at Club 33, the head of Shanghai Disneyland was there. We also got to meet Duffy the Bear, came to our dinner. And so it was a neat way to see the park. You know, Shanghai Disneyland is cutting edge, and there's a lot going on there. Really? But it was really neat. It was like almost like the perfect balance of what you really needed to be experiencing in order to feel like you got the full day there, you know, full sort of Shanghai Disney experience. You know, it's kind of funny when you don't have to wait in line how fast you can go through a park.
Right.
But and it's
I don't know much about Shanghai.
The other thing I should say too is, and we haven't discussed it, but every park, every destination we went to, we were given a gift in the room or multiple gifts in the room. So, so for example, in Disneyland, we were given like a fan, like a electronic fan and a pin bag, because every day we were given a pin. In Shanghai, we were given like a chalk, like a, you know, those Chinese stamps.
Yeah.
So every different park we went to, or and not even just parks, even Egypt and India, they would give you a gift in your room. It was kind of fun to kind of just guess what the gift was going to be, you know, like kind of just see what's going to be in the room when you got there. And then sometimes like it wouldn't be in there right away and be like, oh, no, they forgot about me. But it always ended
up getting it. Yeah. How long were you in Shanghai?
So we were there basically 2 days. As I said, we elected to not do the Shanghai experience, you know, the go see anything.
Yeah.
And in effort to have more park time. But yeah, it was a quick trip. And then because we had a quick like 1 hour flight to head to Hong Kong the next morning.
Oh.
And you could, when we got there, you had this option to either go do a Hong Kong tour or go to the park. And then at night you could go, they had different options. Mm-hmm. So we elected to go to the park and then also go to do the cruise, the Hong Kong River cruise. Ended up probably not being the smartest idea because we ended up only really having like an hour and a half in the park. And then, but you know, we didn't know the timing of anything. And so we went in there, we had tea with Duffy and friends in the park. And then it was really hot. So we were trying to temper ourselves. And then we went to Hong Kong, you know, the city did the cruise, which is fine. The next morning we got another Imagineering tour where they showed us some of the things that they're working on in that park, including, you know, showing us a little bit, not going inside, but, you know, showing where Arendelle's going to be. And I didn't know this, but they renamed one of their stores on Main Street to Marty's in honor of Marty Sklar after he passed away.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
They have you probably, I don't mean to talk down anybody, but there's that famous quote of like, the most scary thing in the world is a blank piece of paper. The most exciting thing in the world is a blank piece of paper.
Yeah.
So it's like a framed blank piece of paper in the store, which I thought was really kind of neat.
Yeah.
Then we had Tai Chi with Mickey. And we did a group ride with me on Mystic Manor. And then we had sort of the day, you know, once again, tour guide throughout the go to the park. Yeah. Now, because it was so hot, we elected to do every show that we could, including their version of Festival of Lion King, which is perhaps even better than Walt Disney World's version. And their Mickey's Wondrous Book, which is very similar to the show we saw in Shanghai. And then we got to meet Iron Man in sort of a private experience. So it was just for the adventures guides. They kind of, we got to go to the Iron Man meet and greet, which they kind of closed for at least the morning, just for us to experience. And then we had dinner at the restaurant that's in Mystic Point, whose name is escaping me. It's Explorers Club. Mm-hmm. And we're given more pins and got to some of the people I worked with at Disney are now working at Hong Kong Disneyland. So talked to them a little bit too, which was kind of neat.
Oh, cool.
So that was Hong Kong.
And how long were you there for?
We were there 2 nights. So basically 1.5 days.
And Hong Kong has two parks or no, just the one?
No, just the one.
Okay, that's right. Yeah.
So then we flew to India with now the Taj Mahal is near Agra, but the thing about Agra is it only has a military airport. So we had to make a quick stop at another airport to go through customs. And then we would hop back on the plane to fly to Agra. Now, if you're visiting the Taj Mahal on your own, you're not going to fly into this other airport. So it takes a bit to get there. So it was a neat kind of, it was one of the benefits of having a private jet was you didn't have to fly directly, you know, fly to this main airport and then take a 3-hour bus ride. Mm-hmm. We were able to kind of be a little bit more efficient. And we went to Taj Mahal, which is more beautiful than... So the first night when we arrived, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. The first night when we arrived, we were basically, by the time we got there, it was basically more of just a, you know, chill in the room, mm-hmm. have dinner, go to bed, which we really needed because we had to get up at 4:50. We had to be out at 4:50 in order to get our sunrise tour of the Taj Mahal, mm-hmm. which we were kind of like second guessing ourselves if we wanted to do, but is definitely the right call. And then, so for those that don't know, the Taj Mahal was basically a tomb for this leader's wife. Then the leader got deposed by his son and was sentenced to Agra Fort, which is where you can see the Taj from Agra Fort. So after we went to the Taj, we took a little break, and then we went to Agra Fort to experience that, to kind of get both sides of the story. Highly recommend both locations. And then we had like a dancing presentation. They gave us turban, you know, they made us have turbans. There was henna if you wanted that. Mm-hmm. At the hotel, I mean, this hotel, every room has a view of the Taj Mahal. It's just the most beautiful thing.
Sorry about that. I was wondering what time the 3 o'clock parade was at the Taj Mahal. My point being, totally not a, there's not a Disney park there. This part of the tour, I mean, not everything on the tour was an actual Disney location. That's my point. So
yeah. And I think what's interesting about this is that, I mean, there's a logistical reason. You're not going to fly on a 757 from Hong Kong to Paris. So you needed to stop somewhere. Mm-hmm. And these next two locations, the Taj Mahal and then India and Egypt, were kind of, in order to tie it into Soarin' Around the World, was their justification.
Oh, right. Okay.
So because basically we would have, besides the park at the end of the ride, we will see the Eiffel Tower, the Taj Mahal, and the pyramids of Giza. Dinner was a little weird at this place where basically you went up and you signed up for a reservation at either the casual place or the fine dining place. It was fine. But it was all you really want to do at this point was go to sleep. And then we flew to Egypt and we went into the new Giza airport, which is kind of big. So if what I learned is that Egypt is building the sort of, is turning the area around the pyramids into sort of a tourist central. So they're building the new Egyptian museum. There's a new airport where people are supposed to fly into, which is this Giza airport. They're going to have it almost making it sort of like a theme, like a TTC, where you're going to park away from the pyramids and you take a bus from the museum to the pyramids. And they're tearing down what they call the slums to kind of beautify the area. But that work is all happening now. It's not open yet. So we went to the old museum, which is not air conditioned, but where the King Tut exhibit is before it will be moved to the new museum. So it's kind of neat to see. I mean, you've seen those King Tut imagery hundreds of times. It's kind of neat to see it in person. But then we went to our hotel. And the irony of this is that our official Egyptian tour guide talks about how it's safe. You can go any place you want to go any time of day and you'll be fine. But we had a police escort the whole time. And there were metal detectors everywhere we went. There were some times when I didn't feel so safe, but
yeah.
Once again, view of the pyramids out of our hotel room. We went to the after hours to the pyramids, no one else there. Mm-hmm. We went inside, we had the option to go inside, which is a lot of hands and knees crawling and stuff to see an empty room, but at least you can say you did it.
Yeah.
Went to the Sphinx and went down below into an area guests aren't normally allowed to go. I don't know who we paid off or whatever, but we had a really cool experience there. But this is when I hit my wall. Mm-hmm. We had dinner outside the pyramids, outside of the hotel in like a courtyard where you have views of the pyramids. And they build this as such a beautiful thing. And all I wanted to do was go to bed. I was so tired.
We have so much traveling in a short amount of time, jet lag and just running around.
So then we finally get to Disneyland Paris, where, you know, we checked in. Well, this was my favorite gift, was actually they gave us like name tags, 30th anniversary glass, like Rebus Brothers style name tags with our names on them.
Nice.
And then we had a, what they called a, we had some time in the park, and then we had a Welcome to France dinner at Colonel Hathi's, which was fine. And then the idea was that was the night to see the fireworks and drone show that they have there. And if you haven't seen their drone show, I mean, it's just unbelievably cool. So then the next day was really our Disneyland Paris day. Started with the ambassadors there, giving us a tour. We had went to the Lucky Nugget, which is their version of Golden Horseshoe, had a presentation from an Imagineer show writer. And then we had our VIP tour. And my thing I wanted to see was the new Pixar show called Together Pixar Musical Adventure, because it's the one thing I hadn't done. We were just at Disneyland Paris in April, so it wasn't. And then I actually had to leave to do some work, but then they continued with the parade. And dinner that night was at the Manhattan restaurant at the Hotel New York, the Art of Marvel. The next day, we actually elected to actually go do the city tour, because Alex has never been. He's been to Disneyland Paris hundreds of times, but never been to actually Paris. So we started with the day with the Palace of Versailles, and then went into Paris proper, went to the Louvre, got a kind of what they call like a classic Paris car. You know, it's like basically an old little mini car like you'd expect in like Herbie Goes Bananas or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, so you got to see the Eiffel Tower and all those things that you never actually got to do before.
Right.
But then dinner that night was at Remy's. And we had a tour, you know, an after-hours ride on the Ratatouille attraction. And then we went out, and they had this sort of like France show where it's like a singer and some dancers. And then finally Mickey shows up at the end. And then it started to rain, so then we left. But it was kind of a unique ending. It was interesting to see. You could kind of tell each park had their own approach to how to handle this. Like Paris definitely went with like an entertainment themed kind of thing. Like, oh, we're going to put on these little shows for you and everything's going to be, you know, whereas Walt Disney World is all about backstage access, getting as much backstage access as they could.
Right.
Tokyo was more, you know, it was just like, okay, just get them on all the rides. You know, Hong Kong was really about showcasing their premium, you know, like their premium options. So each place had their own little unique take on things. And then we finally came back to America. We stopped off in, originally we were supposed to stop in Nova Scotia, but someone had this really smart idea of stopping in Bangor, Maine instead for fuel so that we could go through customs there. So we ran through that and then landed with a grand welcome at the Grand Floridian. Mickey was there, but like I would say like 40 cast members. We had this beautiful chocolate sort of suitcase sculpture in our rooms. And then we, you know, they had reserved viewing for fireworks for us, but we all had theme park view rooms from at the Grand Floridian. So
nice.
I don't know if anyone went, because you know you could just watch it from your room.
Yeah.
And then Magic Kingdom. The next day was kind of the Magic Kingdom day. Started it once again before the park opened. We went to be our guest for breakfast, which is was. Like they handed us menus and we're like, oh, okay, you know, which one am I going to pick? And then no, we just got everything. Like it was constantly food. It was like,
wow.
I don't know how many courses. It was crazy. and then we went on the steam train and went backwards into the roundhouse. And we're split up into different groups. We went to Holiday Services where we got a great tour. They let us take an ornament from their collection home. We went to the monorail shop. Where we all got a piece of the bus bar of the monorail. We went to Central Shops, got to see, you know, at Disneyland, we called the cycle shop basically, but You know, got to see all the vehicles they're working on. And then we hopped on the monorail and rode backwards into the TTC. And then had lunch at Tomorrowland Terrace. Mm-hmm. And then started our VIP tours. Dinner that night was a little weird in that it was designed. You got to pick like one of, you know, be our guest, Cinderella's Royal Table. But logistically, I think they bit off a little bit more than they can chew. And this was one of the big misses of the trip. Mm-hmm. Was it was a little, that was a lot of people left disappointed. Like they had to wait much longer than they originally were told. And, or, you know, they never even got to get eat or were put with people they didn't know.
Right.
And then we had, you know, reserve viewing of Happily Ever After, and that was our Magic Kingdom day. The next day was kind of split between Animal Kingdom and Hollywood Studios. So we headed to Animal Kingdom first, went on Kilimanjaro Safaris, but we went with a senior leader of the animal programs team. So it wasn't, you know, there was a truck driver driving, but the spiel was given from, you know, the head of veterinary science or something like that.
Oh, interesting.
And then we had breakfast over at Rafiki's Planet Watch. And then we split up into groups and went on like a backstage tour of different parts of Rafiki's Planet. So, you know, where they make the food, mm-hmm. the veterinary center, the I forget what the science center, the endocrinologist. In fact, we had on the trip a gentleman who's a reproductive doctor, mm-hmm. helps people get pregnant. And then like they were talking like he had a lot of specific questions about, you know, how they get animals pregnant. Then we went over we had time to relax, you know, at Animal Kingdom. They had reserve viewing for Festival Lion King. We didn't partake. Mm-hmm. We just, you know, kind of went someplace that we had access for. We got to go backstage at Smuggler's Run. So we got to be down in the pit while the ADA vehicle was running.
Oh, really?
So you got to see it. And then they showed us a demo. We didn't get to see the sort of carousel progress version of the regular, but mm-hmm. they explained it to us and just kind of showed us how that worked. And then they kind of had a reservation for us at Uka's Cantina. And then we had time to play at Hollywood Studios. Dinner that night was at the Disney Junior area, so they could show a slideshow of our trip thus far. And that was that day. And then the last day was at Epcot, which technically started not at Epcot. We went to the Flavor Lab, which is, you know, like the test kitchen, concept kitchen. We also went to Tricircle D to get a tour of that. The new Tricircle D, and got to see the Calliope from Mickey Mouse Club Circus, which is kind of fun because Becky did a presentation on the plane about Mickey Mouse Club Circus.
Oh, neat.
And then our lunch was at the Seas Pavilion, the Seas Lounge over at the Seas of Nemo and Friends. Mm-hmm. And well, the first thing we did was we got to walk the top of the aquarium, made a complete circle all the way around. Which they were said the first time they really had guests do it and they were really freaking out about it. Uh-huh. And then Imagineering came and did a presentation. They kind of shuffled the setup here a little bit because rain was coming in. So the first thing we did, instead of having the presentation first, is we went into Journey into Water, the new Moana experience that should be opening later this year. And then they did a presentation talking about the future of Epcot.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm not really supposed to get into, like yeah. what they said, but more to come. Then we had free time on our own at Epcot. We did a group ride in Soarin' to kind of culminate this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were driven to American Adventure for our farewell dinner in the Rotunda. And then there was supposed to be a dessert reception at Epcot Forever. They moved the desserts inside because of weather, but we did still go see Epcot Forever. And then we went home, really tired.
So from there, you went back to Orlando MCO and then flew.
Yeah, so they the next morning there was a breakfast, you know, kind of depending on when you're flying out at mm-hmm. Citricos. And then once again, they had private. We thought, like, so there's a bunch of us leaving at 11. Mm-hmm. So we all thought we're going to get in a bus. No, it was like individual families had cars that take them back to MCO. And then I flew back. And then the next day I found out I had COVID. So, you know.
Oh, no. Wow, what a trip.
Were you charged extra for COVID? Sorry. Lynn, think of something you want to ask him. The one thing I wanted to ask him before we wrap up, well, other than, you know, where people can find him, what is, would you recommend this for somebody who's got the means to do it, right, to pay for it? Would you recommend this for both a casual, someone who's got more casual interest in Disney and a fan, you know, a diehard fan, or what would be your recommendation?
I think it depends on what you're hoping to get out of it. As I said, if you just want to go to the parks, just book trips to go see the parks. It's cheaper and quite frankly better from that perspective, because you can take more than a day and a half. Mm-hmm. I think if you want to have special experiences, and I mean, I know we went through it, but there's more detail, more special yeah. stuff that we could be in here all day, yeah. but, you know, that then this is the way to go. In fact, I would almost recommend this more for people who've been to all the parks mm-hmm. than people who are using this as their first chance to do it. And I mean, I understand this is not, you know, a Disneyland Fun Day $45 ticket, but
right.
it's not, you know, you could go to Hong Kong, book a VIP tour. You could go to, the one you can't do is Tokyo. You can't book a that kind of access. Mm-hmm. And there's certain things that you can't book on this tour. But if you're just talking like, I just want to go in the parks and not wait in line, there's cheaper ways to do that. Yeah. But if you want to go have dinner at Club 33, if you want to spend time with Disney executives talking about crazy things, if you want to have stay at Skywalker Ranch and get to meet, know the guy who runs Skywalker Ranch, like he's a buddy of yours, then this is absolutely the best way to go. But, and this isn't something you're going to do twice. This is something you're going to do and be like, great, I've done it. Mm-hmm. Cause it's really, it's not a vacation. It's an adventure. You know, you're going to want to come home and sleep.
Were you satisfied with what you got out of it? I mean, for the money and just your enjoyment?
Yeah. I mean, I was super satisfied.
Yeah.
I mean, there's feedback I would give them and things and I think they're listening.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, there's a blessing and curse of doing it the first time. One, you know, you're going to get everything that they can think of. Mm-hmm. But it's also, there's going to be sort of inefficiencies in it. But I'm so glad. I almost canceled like four times, not because of the money. I mean, I'm not trying to sound bougie, but like,
yeah.
You know, it's a lot of time to take off and not be around.
Yeah.
And I, quite frankly, I had less time. I thought there was going to be more time for me just to work, you know, just like, oh, you know, like, cause on the calendar it says free time. Well, mm-hmm. you know what? There's really not that free time because they have surprises in there that they don't tell you about.
Yeah.
It was a lot of time to take off and not be around. And, you know, I had almost canceled a lot for that, but then I knew people on the trip and they reached out to me saying, you know, oh, looking forward to spending time with you. And I was like, well, now I can't cancel. And I'm so glad they reached out to me because I had such a great time. I'm so glad I didn't cancel.
Yeah. Very good. Wow. And like you had said, and I'd said in the beginning, we could probably talk more specifics and be here a lot longer, but this was kind of a just to give people an idea, because I had no idea how this went. I kind of knew some of the destinations, but yeah, it was really neat.
And you know, I hope that they do. I like, for me, I would love for them to do like a trip like this, except it's the Walt Disney South American tour,
mm.
you know, mm-hmm. the 40s, or even his European voyage. Like, I'd love to have more Disney centric mm-hmm. trips that I could do after this. Cause you know, once you do, it's like you leave and you're like, well, now that I've done this, like, where do I go from here? Like, right. It's going to be weird to do like, you know, a road trip to the Grand Canyon. Like,
yeah.
You know, but you know, it's I am, and I made so many friends, you know, and, you know, I worried that it was going to be Disney fans have a diverse population of people and how they can approach you about their fandom. But because they were perhaps not as fan focused as I was anticipating, it was a much more casual experience. And I'm glad it ended up that way. I didn't expect it, but I'm glad it did.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Well, cool. Ken, did you have any last questions?
No, you know, other than why didn't you take me? I'm just kidding. that time off is a big thing. Time off, time away. It's a big consideration. But I just wanted to thank you for recapping all of that for us and explaining to us and our listeners what it was.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. I used to idolize Ken so much that it's so surprising that I even get to talk to you. So,
I've got all your fan mail letters posted on my wall,
and someday you'll lift that restraining order. But you know, we'll
find out. Anytime I want to stop feeling down, I just go ahead and read those. Tell the listeners where they can find you.
So, you know, I'm part of the team here over at laughingplace.com. I write occasionally, but I'm pretty much more behind the scenes logistics of getting everything covered. But, you know, we have all sorts of things we're covering in the, you know, for the rest of the year. Not so much on the TV movie side for some weird reason, but we've got a lot coming from the park side over the next 3 months. So please feel free to see and give us your feedback as well about what you'd like to see.
Great. Well, thank you again for coming on.
My pleasure.
Well, Ken, I think I want to go on a trip like that.
Almost makes me want to do it. I, you know, I'm not one that yearns for a lot of travel myself. I know there are people who do like to travel far, travel around the world, all that sort of thing. It's just, I just haven't caught in the bug for that, but
yeah,
it almost makes me want to do it.
Yeah. It sounded very fun and interesting, and for sure.
Yeah, so I thank you again to Benji for coming on, and thank you to our listeners for listening. We this is the part of the show where we give you some really important information, so I'm glad you're still listening.
Yes, we have a new review, and I always say that if you leave a review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, I will read that. So we have a new one. And this is 5 stars, behind the scenes gold, and then it cuts it off. from Little Steph 4. It says, I recently started listening to the podcast and love hearing all the former cast member stories, getting to hear all the amazing little nuggets of information of what it was like to work at Disneyland is just a highlight of my week. Thank you, Lynn and Ken, for all these wonderful interviews.
Oh, that's very kind. Thank you so much for that. We appreciate all the reviews, whether they're glowing or not. It's so nice to get feedback. It helps people find the podcast. So do leave a review. Let people know we're here, you know, how they can find the podcast, because if the more people who listen, the better. It's all part of our plan to take over the world. No, not really. We don't really want to take over the world. We don't want that responsibility. But we do want more people to hear the podcast.
Also, you can the thing lately, you know, we've asked you to leave reviews, and those are very important. But also, the thing right now is if you can share it. So I know, like on the Apple Podcast, there's a little thing at the top of the episode, you can share it, and everyone has some sort of social media. If you want to share an episode, if you found it interesting, you're like, man, I want my friends to hear this, or I want to torture my friends, I don't know, share that episode, and it would really help us out, so we appreciate it.
I could just picture some people there saying, listen to this,
See, my jokes aren't so bad. Just listen to Ken.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you all for listening. Really appreciate it. And we'll talk with you next time.